Now, from the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios at Everbank Field, 1010 XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today with your hosts Mike Dempsey, Tony Smith, and Jeff Lagerman.
Oh, yeah, it's a Film Room Tuesday. Jeff Lagerman's in the house. He's watched the film. We'll break it down from a Jaguar perspective. Glad you're along with us today. Tyler, tomorrow, giving away tickets to the game
tomorrow,
against Cincinnati?
Yep.
All right, got a pair of tickets.
Midday Chalk today, us tomorrow, and Frangie Thursday, so all week.
All week long, some shows giving away tickets every day. We'll have a pair for you tomorrow for the big Sunday Night Football Week 3 of the preseason. Jeff, I heard you guys discuss it. I heard, Tony, I think you had just left for the locker room towards the end of the game, and Tony's quote was something to the effect of, I don't care if we went 0-20 in the preseason. It didn't matter to him what the record was, and I agree with that. I don't think it's would I like to see the Jags go out and win it wire-to-wire this week? Sure I would, but I'd much rather see them win when the ones are competing against the ones than, let's say, have the second or third or fourth team bring them back in the fourth quarter. It's not that important, right?
And that's it's about performance, you know, and comparable performances, you know what I mean? I mean, you want to evaluate your ones versus their ones, your twos versus their twos, and then see where you're at. But the score sometimes doesn't necessarily indicate those things.
Absolutely. And even with that, sometimes, you know, guys like Gerald McCoy might not be playing, Doug Martin's not playing, so it's not a perfect sample. But yet, I found, Tony and I were talking about this, I found myself coming out of this game, I felt good against the Jets about their performance. I felt equally good about this one, right? Just some slight differences, but once again, a lot of the similar themes. I think the first team defense, if they can get out of their own way and not commit the penalties that they committed, did a pretty good job. And certainly the first team offense now, 5 drives, 24 points, and every time they started first and 10, they put points on the board.
Yeah, the offense has been really good. And I think the biggest reason for the jump has been the performance of the running game. You know, I mean, I was talking last night on Jaguars All Access. I mean, if you look at Blake Bortles' 2 touchdown passes in the preseason, which occurred against the Bucs, both of them were on second and, you know, manageable downs or down in distances. You know, so second, the long pass to Allen Hurns, that was a second and one.
Yep.
You know, Ivory had a 9-yard gain the play before. The touchdown pass to T.J. Yeldon was a 2nd and 5 after a 5-yard gain to Chris Ivory. I mean, those are the situations as an offense you want to be in. And those are the situations to where, you know, at the conclusion of the season and Blake throwing for 35 touchdown passes, you know, there was conversation about, well, you know, next year you'd like to maybe not have to have him throw so many, but limit the interceptions. Well, if you can find the running game to be consistent, which it appears that it's looking good, if you can have that continue through the regular season, those are the kind of things that happen. You've got balance. You can be more aggressive on second down. You got a defense that can't sit there and commit to pinning their ears back and pass rushing. And you've got a secondary that, you know, has to play a little bit of the run support too. And so they're a little bit depleted in the pass defense. I mean, that's the perfect world. I mean, it's to have balance. And that's why coaches always preach about balance, is because it's the indecisiveness of a defensive coordinator on 2nd and 5 or less, and also the indecisiveness of the guys up front. Do I play run or do I pass rush? That's hard. That's very hard. Down to distance is a huge, huge thing when it comes to a functional offense.
They can write better game scripts, too, if they keep starting fast, right? And, you know, you don't fall behind in the second half. You don't have to abandon the run. They're not going to go out and score on 2 of their first 3 drives in every single game. We understand that. But they have the capability right now. What do you see from Blake? What is the biggest improvement in his game that you've seen? And granted, the regular season hasn't gotten here, but this offseason, right up until this point, what is the biggest step forward that he's made?
I think in games, he's been taking better care of the football, and that's critical. Backed up, the first series that they had against the Bucs, you know, would have been an opportunity in years past that Blake might have tried to squeeze it in there instead of worrying about, look, you know, it's okay to punt. You know, and then also later on that one play to T.J. Yeldon, it was a downfield call. I mean, they're trying to push the ball down the field. They've got receivers that he's looking at first. He didn't sit there and go, oh, yeah, I'm going to throw it in there. And he said, no, I'm just going to be happy. There's T.J., which, by the way, T.J., I don't know if you heard Blake last night, T.J. ran the wrong route.
Did he really? Who did? Yeah. Because he and Mercedes were both right there.
Yeah, T.J. ran the wrong route. But you know,
but he saw daylight. He just threw that hand up. He's like, I got this.
Can
anyway.
You imagine? I mean, I'm not just saying that would happen, but I mean, Peyton Manning in that situation would probably go, I can't throw it because he's not running the right route.
Right.
You know, Blake's like, oh, he's running the wrong route, but he's open.
Yeah,
there
he looks
you go.
Open to me.
Yeah. That was awesome. You know, I mean, that's the thing I think that has always been fun about Blake is that, you know, when plays get off schedule, he's
little schoolyard.
He seems to have the ability to raise his level a little bit. And that play's probably another example of that.
All right, Jeff Logman's in the house. We'll take your calls today at 641-1010. That's also the text line driven by Duval Ford at the same number. We'll take your tweets at MD_1010XL, at 1010XL Fat Tony, at Logs56, LOGS56. A question of the day today on social media, on the Facebook page and on Twitter. Which player will be the Jaguars' secret weapon in 2016? It could be a starter. It could be a reserve. Someone that you think will outperform common expectations for them this year and provide the Jags a lot of value in that regard. You can share your thoughts with us on that. If you've got specific questions about this team, what you've seen throughout the preseason, what Jeff's seen, you can send them in any of those varieties, just like we did last week. We'll throw a lot of questions your way.
There was a secret weapon in that game against the Bucs on Saturday night.
Hold that thought. All right, and we'll come back and we'll let Jeff Logman tell you who the secret weapon was this Saturday night. It's Tyler Devitt's birthday.
Tease.
Thank you very much. I that's just for you. Happy birthday. Do you want some lunch or something? Do you want somebody to bring you some lunch? What can we do here? We can make this happen on the radio program. We can offer up, like, you know, a couple of T-shirts or something like that.
If somebody wants to go grab me, like, a meatball sub from Jason's Deli.
All right. Call first, maybe, right, so we don't have, like, six meatball subs coming from Jason's Deli.
What would be wrong with that?
All right. Call first so we don't have any more than three or
four
meatball subs coming from Jason's Deli. Call Tyler. Set it up. Hook the man up. He does a great job producing the show, and it is his birthday today. All right, let's take a quick timeout. We'll come back, take your calls, tweets, texts, and otherwise on the program. Jeff Logman, Fat Tony, Mike Dempsey, and the birthday boy, Tyler Devitt, here with you. It's Jaguars Today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
This is Jaguars Today from the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios at Everbank Field. Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute, sports medicine provider for the Jacksonville Jaguars, Jacksonville Sharks, and Jacksonville University. 2 hours spent on two things, your Jags and the rest of the NFL. This is Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
I'm Eli Manning.
Hi, I'm Peter King.
This is Dan Reeves, and you're listening to 1010XL.
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 92.5 FM.
I'm Dan Scuda of your Jacksonville Jaguars, and you're listening to Jaguars Today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
All right, thank you, Dan Scuda. The auto. All right. Happy birthday, Tyler Devitt. Somebody hook the man up. Have you been hooked up yet? I need some Jason's Deli.
No, still waiting
promises.
On our four.
All right, I just one would be fine. I don't need one.
I'm not splitting mine with you guys.
Well, I understand that, but I mean, four for all for you, or I figured maybe two for you. Logs and Tony could each have one.
I think that's fair.
That would be fair. I'm on the diet kick, so I'm going to just watch Tony enjoy his.
What's the update? Where are you at right now?
37 and a half.
That's good.
37 and a half, 35 days
that's
in.
That's great job.
So I'm a little ahead of pace, and I got a six-day wiggle room window. I got a 50 by opening day. Is
50
the goal.
Pounds.
50 pounds by opening day. I had 56 days till opening day when I set that goal. So basically a pound a day with a little wiggle room.
Okay.
So I'm on pace.
That's good.
Right now I walked. I went home yesterday, mowed the backyard. It was blazing out. Then I went for a four-mile walk in the neighborhood. Then did a show on Sirius. When I got done, did another 4 miles around the neighborhood. You can sweat pretty good at night.
All right, now you just need
right
to keep
now.
It off once you get there.
Oh, I know. I understand.
That's the goal. Right?
That is the struggle. No question about it. That's why, Jeff, I try to lose about 10 more than I need to, and then allow myself to eat my way back up to normalcy, Tony.
I've always been a believer of you be good for 6 days, and you get one day that's a cheat day.
You know, it's funny you say that, because I was talking to my wife about this. I've got a liter bottle of Pepsi in my fridge, and I love my Pepsi, but I like the Pepsi with the real sugar, like they call it the throwback Pepsi, okay? And this, my Publix, it was close to my house, was closed for like a year. They were rebuilding it, and so I had to drive, I don't know, 15 minutes to Publix if I wanted to go to Publix, and I just wanted some Pepsi, so I went to the gas station and got a couple of liter bottles of like the regular Pepsi. It's not my preference, but I'll drink it in a pinch. So it's sitting in there. And every week I think, well, if I have a good week, come Sunday night, I'm drinking the heck out of that Pepsi. And I haven't yet. I look at it and I'm like, I don't need that. I'll have this. I'll have some water. I'm good. So for now, I'm good. It's like it's almost better to have that staring me right in the face so I can turn it down.
I used to be a huge fan of sweet tea. And I still am. But, you know, it's one of those things where you just, I probably shouldn't drink like, a gallon a day.
Right.
You know, so I don't drink it very, very rarely now.
Yeah, you got willpower. That's evident. I have willpower, Tony, every 5 years. Tony knows.
Yeah.
I go through cycles. 641-1010, let's get in. If you want to get on with Jeff Logman, that's the way to do it. Jarrell is first up on the north side this morning on Jaguars Today. Good morning, Jarrell.
Good morning. How y'all doing?
We're great. Good. What's up, man?
I just wanted to have my little comment on the secret weapon I think the Jacksonville Jaguars will have this year. Without a doubt in my mind, it will be Marquise Lee, especially after the first preseason game, as to what he flashed. If he can stay healthy, about how the running game's doing, I think he's without a doubt the secret weapon. And I'll let y'all take comments off the air.
All right. Thank you, Jarrell. What about it, Jeff?
You hope. I mean, consistency, availability. I mean, that's the thing that you want out of Marquise Lee this year. Yeah. Look, if he can be consistently available all season long, it will make this team tremendously better.
How much more difficult is it to guard the Jaguars if you've got a healthy Marquise Lee on the field?
Oh, man. I mean, you're talking about matchup issues, because – I don't think anybody fears Allen Hurns, to the point to where they feel like they have to match up with him.
Right.
Allen Robinson, teams will fear. And when you can only fear one guy, it's a little easier to be able to make that coverage better against one guy. Marquise Lee has game-breaking speed. And so it makes it more difficult for teams to slant something Allen Robinson's way if Marquise Lee is on the field. Rashad Green's not going to give you that. Brian Walters won't give you that. I mean, they'll give you consistent catches and performance, and there's nothing wrong with that. But to be able to break a game wide open, Marquise Lee is the guy that can make this offense special if he's consistently available.
And, the thing with Allen Hurns, let teams continue to look at him as a guy you don't need to match up against.
The best thing in the world, right?
Isn't it? I mean, because once again, he just goes out the other night and shows you how open he can get. And a lot of people really – highlighting that play, Blake looked left, looked left, looked left, and then came back to the middle and knew what he had as soon as he came back because there was no hesitation. Just in terms of that play in the maturation process of Blake Bortles, he said Allen Robinson is the primary, but he didn't try to force it like you're talking about. And knowing where guys are supposed to be, it gave you a glimpse into really he's starting to really think his way, or thinking might even be the wrong term because it's almost instinctive and reactionary. He's just feeling his way now through some of these plays at a little bit higher level than the past.
Yeah, and I showed that play last night on All Access. And before you get to, great job by Blake, I mean, because he looked left, right? And then he came back and went right. What does that require?
Time.
Time, right?
Right.
And the protection up front was very good because it was second and one. And the only guy that probably had a difficult block up front because of the down and distance was Luke Jokel. He's got Robert Ayers, who, I don't want to say he's a great player, but he's a very good pass rusher. And Luke Jokel had to block Ayers in space. And so the look left, come back right and throw it, Luke Jokel had to hold his block up. And Blake actually kind of drifted towards Luke Jokel because Luke initially set a little bit wide, but he was able to clamp down and block Ayers and be effective. But, that play there, I think you're right in that it signifies Blake Bortles is maturing because he didn't try to force it. But then also the reaction after it wasn't there, because there's actually two routes that Allen Robinson can run to the left. It's kind of like a slant-go double move. Okay, and when that's not there, Allen can plant his foot and then come back, so it's like a triple move. Well, it was just taking too long for Blake, and then Blake saw the safety drifting, and he immediately turns back and just knows he's going to throw it. But it's not there unless Allen Hurns runs this little nod, which he termed it in the broadcast of the game. And the nod is running a route when you're the second guy in the progression. You're not even the primary guy, but still running the route to the best of your ability to get clean, not knowing you're going to get the ball. But that little nod, which was kind of like a little stutter step, it made Brent Grimes just shuffle his hips just a little bit that created – that extra 2 yards of space for Blake to be able to get that ball in. Was the ball well thrown? It was okay. Did he hit, you know, Allen Hurns perfectly in stride? No. But because there was that little bit of a separation from the route, it allowed Blake more room to squeeze that ball. And it was actually slightly behind Allen Hurns. Allen had to actually slow down a little bit. You know, could have been out front of another yard maybe because, you know, you had the end line kind of coming into play on that. But it was a wonderful play and a lot of things to point out that were very good.
There's a lot of stuff that goes unnoticed and just shows you, you know, you talk about sports being games of inches and things like that. You know, just that little hesitation to get Brent Grimes off, that's all it takes.
And he's a veteran guy.
Multiple-time Pro Bowler.
I mean, he's an excellent player. He's seen it all. And here you got a third-year wide receiver, undrafted free agent, third-year wide receiver that gets that type of separation. Fantastic.
All right. Thank you for the call, Jarrell. Let's go to Ted at the Beaches up next here on Jaguars Today. Good morning, Ted.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good, buddy.
Hey, man, my concern is about the backup quarterback situation. I just want to get your opinion on Chad Henne and his struggles to move the ball. And do you think another backup quarterback would be good for this team?
Well, I think every NFL team, you know, would love to have a better backup quarterback. But, you know, the reality is that it's hard enough to find one. You got to be happy that you got one, you know, because, I mean, the reality is that if you're most teams in the National Football League, if you lose your starter, you're going to lose your opportunity. And it's not very often that, you know, Phil Sims and Jeff Hostetler
right.
story come along in the National Football League anymore because the game is different. The game is so pass-centric. You know, that's the way it is. You know, am I that concerned? Look, I'm concerned. I don't care who the backup is. If you lose your starter, you're screwed. I mean, it's just the way it is in the National Football
sure.
League. I mean, look, is there any other team in the league that you could think of that would feel good about their chances if they lose their starter?
We could probably come up with one or two that would feel okay.
Let's not go the Dallas Cowboys and get on this Dak Prescott.
Right,
crush,
I got gotcha. You. Know. I understand he hasn't played a snap when it matters
yeah.
and all that. It's, clearly, there's always going to be a massive drop-off.
Big time.
Rare are the occasions when you have a Montana Steve Young-type depth chart, right?
Very rare.
Right. So from that being said, Henne is what Henne is. He's a guy who knows the offense. As Tony likes to say, he'll get him in and out of the huddle. You know, he'll be able to competently, you know, process things. Now, he hangs on to the football. He
doesn't
delivers.
Have great pocket presence.
He doesn't have great pocket. He gets a lot of balls batted. There are a lot of issues with Chad Henne's play, but you feel like he's got the offense down cold. He's going to know what he's supposed to do. Now, whether he can execute it or not, there's a reason he's the backup as opposed to the starter. What have you seen from Brandon Allen? Max Wettick got released this morning. We didn't think he was going to make the team, but Brandon Allen, sixth-round pick, that maybe they envision as the primary backup, even, say, as early a year from now. He's going to struggle. He's a six-round rookie. But anything you can take away that's a bright spot is pretty dismal performance this week.
Well, yeah. I mean, when you watch what he's done so far in a game situation, I don't think there's a lot to be excited about yet. But, I mean, that's kind of what you expect from a sixth-round rookie draft pick. But the encouraging thing is what you saw out of him at Arkansas. Got very nice pocket presence, a quick release. Efficient, high completion percentage. You know, those are the things that you'd like to have in a backup quarterback. I mean, the one thing that he's probably missing is, you know, he's not a phenomenal athlete when he, as far as, you know, taking it and then being a threat with his legs. Doesn't have a huge arm, but he's got an adequate arm. I mean, those are all the characteristics that you typically find in a backup quarterback, and you hope that eventually his mind, you know, catches up, which it will. It takes time for a quarterback. We saw it with Blake Bortles. I mean, you know, his first year, you're like, wow. But Blake had some special physical abilities that kind of allowed him to do some moments that, or have moments that you went, wow, that was unbelievable. You know, I don't think we're going to see something like that with a Brandon Allen. But, you know, in time, you hope that he can develop into a solid backup. And most importantly, because, you know, what are you paying Chad Henne? You know, the life in the National Football League is about salary cap management. You know, if you can't pay backup quarterbacks, you know, $4 or $5 million.
You can when your quarterback's on his rookie deal,
exactly.
Right? And but that's going to change soon. And obviously, with an eye toward look, they've done a great job managing the cap. They could afford right now to pay Chad Henne. You don't want to overpay anybody, as Dave Bolo will tell
it's,
you.
It's the point is coming to where you can't afford to pay your backup quarterback
right,
that
because
anymore.
Blake's going to get a big deal. Allen Robinson's going to get a big deal. There are other homegrown talents that will be in line for big
Talvin
deals.
Smith,
Brandon Linder,
Yeldon,
right?
Exactly.
No, I'm not. So yeah, absolutely. But that's a story for at least a year down the road. I guess the best way to put it is what it is, right? It's not an ideal situation. Clearly, Chad Henne is not Blake Bortles.
No.
Keep Blake Bortles healthy. Jimmy Garoppolo is not expected to be Tom Brady, and many other examples around the National
Football League. You just hope that, you know, if you can develop the defense this year and the weapons start to become all available, Marquise Lee, Julius Thomas develops into a factor that if you do have an injury with your quarterback, then you can tread water and at least kind of keep things going a little bit. But, you know, there's always going to be a drop-off.
Jeff Loggeman's here with us. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, and the birthday boy, Tyler Devitt. We'll hear a little bit from Gus Bradley talking about some of his players and how they performed in week two of the preseason. That's coming up, and we'll get Jeff's further thoughts on the offensive line as we talked about it a little bit right at the top of the program. Certainly hasn't been a concern to this point, but what has he seen specifically from some of the players that have been manning, particularly the left side of the offensive line? We'll get into that coming up with all these guys. I'm Mike Dempsey. We're live at the 1010XL World Headquarters Studios. It's Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
He did a really nice job. I think it was Luke's most physical game that he's played as a Jag, you know, where he showed up and just, you know, really an attempt to be physical. You know, I think sometimes people will play more physical when they really understand their assignments and their job. And he's on it now. And so that part of the game, I think, is really picked up for him. Did a good job in protection and in the run game.
That's Gus Bradley, a conference call on Sunday to discuss with the media his thoughts after getting a chance to watch some of the film from Saturday night's performance against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, we got Jeff Loggeman laying down the law, and we've got Tyler Devitt celebrating his 24th birthday. Happy birthday.
Not yet celebrating. About an hour and a half from now, a cold one will be in hand.
Oh, really? 10 after 12.
It's kind of early.
But he got a cooler in the car? Man, this guy's going to run right up to Glenn's Liquors, apparently. Baloo going to meet you there or what?
A little fireball. I'm a little fireball in my pocket.
Hey, you're 24 years old, dude. I don't blame you a bit. You know, have at it.
I won't admit it.
Gus talking about Luke Joeckel's performance. He thought it was the most physical performance he may have had since he's been here, and said you can play that way. You know, to paraphrase here, once you have a better comfort level and you understand you don't have to think your way through it, is what I took from that quote. Just what have you seen from Luke Joeckel this training camp?
First and foremost, he's in a competitive situation. You know, And I know that Luke Joeckel, he had an interview this week with the newspaper guys, and he made the comment that, look, I'd be playing this way regardless whether Kelvin Beachum was here. You know, and I think it's great that he believes that, but the reality is, that, I mean, people are human.
It's human nature, man.
Absolutely.
T.J. Yeldon is, I think, bringing it a little bit harder, right? Just because, hey, Chris Ivory.
You're doggone Skippy.
Right? Exactly. I don't say that to knock a guy. People are like, well, they're paid professional athletes, they should be trying 150% at all times. Like you said, it's human nature.
I've said this for years. The greatest coach in the world is competition. Because, I mean, that's the ultimate motivating factor. I mean, you've got to be able to perform to keep your spot, to keep your time, to keep whatever. And that's good. I mean, it's good in business. It's good in athletics. It's good for coaches. It's good for players. Because, you know, when you've got somebody that's sitting there right behind you, that could take your job in an instant, and if you falter, it makes the concentration level higher. Now, Luke Joeckel in the last 2 weeks, and I don't think it was just one game. You know, I don't want to say disagree, but I would add to what Gus said, and that the last 2 weeks, Luke Joeckel's played very well. Now, we have known for a while that Luke Joeckel is very good at run blocking. We know that his biggest issue is sometimes when he's in space trying to pass protect. Now, we haven't really seen 3rd and 8, 3rd and 9. We haven't seen top-end pass rusher.
Exotic blitz packages.
Yeah,
and the
so,
whole.
You know, I mean, it's all positive. I mean, the best part about this is that you've acquired a guy in free agency that is a better pass blocker than Luke Joeckel. Is he a better run blocker than Luke Joeckel? Probably not, but he's probably close. But for a quarterback in that position, give me the better pass blocker in that scenario, and I can make it work with the rest of the offensive line. So, but it's a great situation that Luke Joeckel has improved, and you now have some time to allow Kelvin Beachum to get fully healthy, and then after that, then you figure it out. But it's a positive for this football team that Luke has improved. And competition, there's no question, competition is what has accomplished that.
This is Gus Bradley on just in general the offensive line play against the Bucs and how they did as a unit.
I think they're as a group, they're playing pretty well. Obviously, we felt like Luke Jokel had one of his better games, is showing being physical. Linder and A.J. too. A.J. was another guy we pointed out as far as his physicalness and his toughness. Linder brings that every day. So I think it's as a group, they're playing pretty well. We feel like at the line of scrimmage, the second level, but there's a lot of areas of improvement. We talked to the receiver group about more, what more can they do as far as blocking downfield to help the run game. But, you know, we're getting into the finer details with the run game now. You know, they kind of understand the big picture and how it's going to be put together. Now it's just those intricacies, I think, that can help us, you know, take another step forward and hopefully this week.
Yeah, we'll get to some of the skill position guys blocking in the run game because I know you want to highlight one of them in terms of a secret weapon for the Jaguars. But right now, when you look, all right, so Luke has played well, right? Mm-hmm. We got Chris Reed for a game. We got Mackenzie Bernardo for a game, basically, right, to see what they could do at left guard. How do you compare those guys side by side?
Well, I think that Bernardo, however you pronounce his last name, we had a little bit of a
We're looking at the flip card. The flip card says Bernardo is his pronunciation. We've gone with Bernardo since he's gotten here, so to be determined.
He played pretty well. You know, and I think the one thing about him is he's a veteran guy, and so he has the ability to adjust to some things that maybe Chris Reed doesn't quite adjust too quickly. But Chris Reed, once again, played very well. This week, he played at right guard. You know, last week against the Jets, he went the whole distance at left guard. But he's a bulldog now. I mean, he's tough. He finishes. And going back to the Jets game, I mean, to hurt your ankle knee in the first snap of the game and then finish the game and play it at the level that he did against a very good front, the New York Jets guys, I mean, that was impressive. So, and who's got the edge there? I'd give it to Chris Reed, mainly because he's younger, he's feistier, and he's stronger than Bernardo.
How many are you keeping on the offensive line? Total number.
I don't know. That's a great question. I mean, in a perfect world, you'd like to have eight.
Okay, so let's say right now, Jokel and Beecham, right? Or whether they're starting or not, Jokel and Beecham, mm-hmm. and of course, Linder, Cannon, Parnell. That's five. Shatley is six, mm-hmm. right? Reed, you think it's ahead of Bernardo right now? Let's say Reed is seven. Does that mean you're keeping Josh Wells when he gets healthy?
Well, the good thing about Josh Wells is he'll start season on PUP.
You know, so you got some time.
Yeah, you got a little bit of a leeway there.
So do you go into the season, though, with, you know, can you go into the season? If you think Beecham's not ready for day one to play, don't you need another tackle on the roster?
Yeah,
Or can one of those guys, in a pinch, what would be your emergency plan?
You probably wouldn't design your roster spots on opening day going, we need to have a guy that can play left tackle. You'd probably go into that game saying, look, we're hoping that he's going to make it through the entire game healthy, Luke Jokel, if Kelvin Beecham was inactive,
right?
And if we have to play somebody there, you know, we'll get by with this guy. And who this guy is, Patrick Omame might be that guy. He's a guy that's played on all the positions. He's got the size. He's got some of the characteristics to where you feel good that he could play at different positions. In fact, he played some snaps at left tackle last week, and I don't think that was by accident. So I think if you're talking Beecham, Jokel, and then let's say Chris Reed's at left guard, Brandon Linder, A.J. Cann, Jeremy Parnell, and then you're looking at Tyler Shatley and Patrick Omame, and then if there's another spot, maybe it's Bernardo.
Gotcha.
That's his new name.
We'll call him McKenzie.
Yeah.
Right, we'll go with that. You were talking a moment ago. Our question of the day, brought to you by the Tom Bush Family of Dealerships, is who will be the Jaguars' secret weapon this year? And you have an interesting way of looking at it, because I think if you told people Julius Thomas is going to be the secret weapon, Jeff must think he's going to catch 80 balls for 12 touchdowns, but it's not that aspect. You think he's developing as more of a complete tight end than you've ever seen before.
I said this last year with you, and I said it all throughout the offseason. For this offense to take the next step, Julius Thomas has to be a legitimate blocking threat, because otherwise teams are going to match him up like how he has played in the past. Last year, you match him up with a DB, because I don't think he was a major threat as a blocker. This past game against the Bucs, they actually put him at the point of attack, and he blocked, extremely well. He blocked down one time and literally took his guy all the way across the ball, which was, you know, you're talking, that's 5 yards. He took his guy like 5 yards, and that was Robert Ayers, I believe. And point of attack, he had Grimes on another one. He buried Grimes to the ground.
Should bury Grimes.
Absolutely. But, I mean, those are the kind of things that you need to have, because in order for your offense to function at a high level, if he gets treated as a legitimate blocker, then the matchups get better for him as a receiver. And it makes it easier for the offense to be able to get some of their best guys on the field, because, you know, I mean, no offense to Mercedes Lewis, because he's very good. But when you get to third and three or third and four, you want to have Hearns, Marquise Lee, and Allen Robinson on the field. And you want to have Julius Thomas, because he's a receiving threat. But to be able to still be able to have balance, he has to become a blocker. And Julius Thomas, if last week was an indication, that was a really nice step in the right direction.
So when you say that if he can show that, he's going to get better matchups, it's because they got to put a more physical player on him to handle him, right?
Yeah,
and then he's got the quickness advantage.
Absolutely.
On.
Because, you know, Julius Thomas is not that good of a wide receiver to where you can match him up against a corner and say he's going to win.
Right.
He's not. I don't know if he's fast enough. But he's certainly fast enough to be able to take on a safety and a linebacker. That's a better matchup that you like. Ultimately, you'd love to have a linebacker matching up against him. And if he's a good blocker, then they're going to have to put a linebacker on him, because they're worried about him being a blocker as well. So, I mean, that's for him to be the player that he wants to be, he needs to be what he was on Saturday night, and that's an effective blocker.
All right, we'll take a timeout here. We'll come back. We got this State in Football, the Honda Drive around the NFL. More with Jeff Loggeman, more from Gus Bradley, including talking about Jalen Ramsey's performance in coverage this weekend. Just a brief glimpse of him, but he looked the part on Saturday night. We'll get into all that. 641-1010, both the phone number for the phone lines and the text line, driven by Duval Ford, and hit us up on social media as well. With Fat Tony and Jeff Loggeman, with Tyler Devitt, the birthday boy, I'm Mike Dempsey. It's Jaguars Today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
And now, this date in football history.
All right, here we go. This date in football history. Back in 1946, another one of those annual Chicago All-Star Games took place on this date. And it was, again, similar to yesterday's score, 5 years after the fact, 16-0, the same score that the All-Stars won in 1951. They beat the Los Angeles Rams by that score in front of 97,000 in 1946. Paul Hornung, we remember him, the golden boy from Notre Dame, won the Heisman Trophy and got embroiled in gambling issues and caused him to be suspended from the National Football League for a while. And
missed the whole year.
Right, missed the whole year. And then Lombardi went to bat for him and just kept kept going to Roselle saying, you got to reinstate this guy. Finally got back in. It was on this date, though, that he was awarded over $1 million in court because the NCAA wanted to bar him from being a college football analyst because of his past betting on games. A Louisville court ruled against the NCAA, and they had to pay $1.16 million to Paul Hornung on this date. Famous birthdays for this date, 1934, Sonny Jurgensen, as far as I can tell, still kicking it at 82 years old. Five-time Pro Bowler, Hall of Fame inductee in 1983. Member of the 1960s All-Decade team, along with Johnny Unitas and Bart Starr. That's a pretty good company to be in for a quarterback. Born to this date in 1965, Mark Ingram Sr., the dad of the current New Orleans Saints running back, longtime New York Giants, had run-ins with the law. He is 51 years old today. Cortez Kennedy, born on this date in 1968. He was the third overall pick in 1990 by the Seattle Seahawks. Defensive Player of the Year just 2 years later. Member of the All-Decade team of the 1990s and a Hall of Fame inductee in 2012. Oh, and Huge Douglas was born on this date as well. So they can't all be good. Tyler Devitt shares a birthday with Hugh Douglas. How about that? 45 years old today. And then, yes, it was 24 years ago in 1992 that a kid grew up in Indiana with posters of Damon Bailey and Steve Alford on his wall. And here he is today, rising to the great heights as producer of Jaguars Today.
I'd much rather tell people I share a birthday with Kobe Bryant than Hugh Douglas.
Oh, do you share? It's Kobe's birthday today,
too? Yeah, today is Kobe's birthday, but I'd rather not say Hugh Douglas.
He does not fit in this date in football history. You're stuck with Huge Douglas instead, and that is this date in Tyler Devitt's life.
Now the Honda Drive around the NFL. brought to you by your First Coast Honda dealers.
According to Adam Schefter, multiple league sources have told him that teams have been in contact with the Cleveland Browns to inquire about the availability of wide receiver Josh Gordon via trade. The Browns reportedly have no interest in trading Gordon at this time. He hasn't played since 2014, should return to the field this Friday for the Browns, but still has to serve a four-game suspension to start the regular season. The Indianapolis Colts have agreed to terms with free agent cornerback Antonio Cromartie. The Colts are dealing with multiple injuries to their corners, including their top cornerback Vontae Davis, who is expected to be out for a couple of weeks with an ankle injury. Dallas Cowboys wide receiver Dez Bryant suffered a concussion during practice yesterday. He's expected to be held out through the rest of the team's preseason. And Pittsburgh Steelers player rep Ramon Foster is encouraging players in the league to start saving their money for a potential showdown with the NFL when the current CBA expires after the 2020 season. Foster expresses issues with the drug policy, with Roger Goodell as the sole arbiter for player discipline, with insurance, post-career care for players, and the players split on team revenues. Quote, hit them in the pocket. That way, money always talks. For us to do that, we have to save on our end. We can't just be blowing money and not realize what's coming, especially with guys coming into the league now, end quote.
All right, there you have it. The Honda drive around the NFL. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, Jeff Loggeman here with you. Let's hear, Jeff, what Gus had to say. We're talking about Jalen Ramsey on the break a lot there. We haven't really discussed him on the air today. He's been a big topic of discussion, though, over the last couple of days. This is Gus talking about Ramsey and particularly the coverage job that he did against Mike Evans.
I thought he did a good job. Now, we saw him both on the outside and in the slot. And I don't know exactly how many times, but I do remember a couple of them in particular. The big thing with Jalen is he's really got really, really good poise. He's, you know, obviously very talented athlete, and he's got good technique, but his poise at the line of scrimmage, and he really trusts his speed. So it allows him to play in a comfort level, you know, that he has great confidence. So I don't know what the exact matchups were. I remember there was one on the sideline where he played it pretty well, but, you know, I think overall just his poise and, you know, he's in coverage, he's doing well, and in his tackling. Now, it's one preseason game, and he played, you know, I don't know exactly the number of plays, but, you know, it sure is a good sign for him.
He certainly looked like he jumped off the screen, to my vantage point, much like Dante Fowler did in those early training camp practices. You know, it's hard to take your eyes off Jalen Ramsey. What did you think of his performance?
The one thing I was really anticipating seeing was his physical play, because that's the thing that really stood out at Florida State. I mean, a lot of corners don't like to play physical, and he's a complete player. You know, he's not afraid to initiate contact. The one play that he made, he got Damar Dotson, the one who was giving Dante Fowler fits and pass rush, who is, you know, 6'8", 325 pounds or whatever, leading on a toss play to the outside. And Jalen Ramsey literally just knifes through the midsection of Dotson and makes the tackle for a loss. I mean, and then he had another play on a third and short. He didn't make the tackle short of the first down, but he was willing to stick his nose in there. He led the team in tackles. The two one-on-one opportunities against Mike Evans were very strong, where the ball was actually targeted for Mike Evans. He had another play that stood out to me where he was covered in the slot in a nickel situation, maybe a little bit borderline too physical. You know, he's got to be careful because sometimes he's so big and so physical, sometimes it's hard not to be physical, but he's going to have to be careful in that aspect. But, I mean, what a strong start. You know, Gus talks about poise. You know, the poise is what I was talking about through training camp, about how when he lines up, his feet never move, he's never fallen out of the stance or anything like that. When you're faster than everybody else, it's easy to have poise and not worry about leaning or cheating one way or the other because he's just so fast. And that's the thing I think that is his greatest strength, is that he's confident and he has the toolkit to be able to be confident. Because if the guy beats him on a move or a jam at the line of scrimmage, it's okay.
He's got recovery speed.
Because he's going to make it up, you know. And so he's fun to watch, and he's got a swagger about him, you know, on the field, and I like that because, you know, swagger on defense and a swagger that comes with strong performance is okay. A swagger without being a good player is a problem.
It's just obnoxious. Yes. Right. But he does project to be a very good guy, and you look at cornerbacks, many of the top ones do have that swagger. How are they going to ultimately use him, Jeff? I'm not talking about inside versus outside. I'm talking about, you don't want to necessarily put too much on him. He's a rookie. He hasn't played an actual game in the National Football League. But do they envision at a point in the future, if he's clearly the best cover guy they have, is he going to take the top guy, or is he going to be like Richard Sherman in Seattle and play a side? I mean, how do they envision using him in that regard?
Well, there's a little bit of an unknown in that. I mean, first off, I mean, if you look at history, you know, the Jaguars, the only one that they've ever really swapped sides was Devon House. It was last year. I'm trying to remember which team it was. They swapped sides with Devon House. But, you know, we've got a new defensive coordinator in Todd Walsh. You know, what does Todd Walsh believe? I mean, nobody knows in the National Football League, and that's kind of a good thing for
right.
the Jaguars in that they don't know exactly how Todd Walsh is going to coach or how he's going to game plan an opponent. So it's one of those things we're going to have to wait and see. But I think anywhere you use Jalen Ramsey, it doesn't matter. He's going to be very good. You know, and he's going to have to play the nickel early in the season because of the suspension of Aaron Colvin for 4 games. And in that instance, Prince Amukamara is going to be the corner, and then Jalen will kick in to the slot. And most long guys have a little bit of a difficulty because the slot guys are typically a little shiftier, a little quicker, and Jalen Ramsey's shown the ability to do that. But, you know, what a great, you know, much like we talked about with the flexibility of Kelvin Beachman, Luke Joeckel, okay, you've got a second plan if the first plan doesn't work. The last couple years with Gus and Dave, if you had an issue somewhere in the back end, you were sitting there going, oh, my.
All right.
What are they going to do?
Play this guy.
What are they going to do? Well, now you're actually talking about the two guys for the first year and the second year that you're saying they're going to be our guys, you know, and drawing a blank here, the two defensive backs for the Jaguars, Demetrius McCray.
And Dwayne Grotz.
I mean, we're talking about those guys. Are they going to make it?
Right.
You know, so, I mean, that's a positive. It just shows you how much further along that this roster is that Dave has been able to put together, and supplementing the roster not only in the draft but in the free agent process has been good for this team because it gives them options. And the more options you have, the more sustainable winning that you're likely to have.
All right, question for you on the text line driven by Duval Ford. This is from Ian. He said he has two theories on why Gus hasn't given the first team defense all that many reps so far. He says, one, he knows how good they are and doesn't want to show too much, or two, he knows how thin they are, and they can't afford to lose starters to injury, and Gus needs these guys healthy this year to save his job. Either of these theories, or is this just a normal early, you know, halfway through the preseason substitution pattern?
I don't know the reason for that, but, you know, are they thin? I don't think they're thin in the back end because we just got done talking about some options there. I think up front, I think you have options everywhere but Leo, because you want to be at least two deep. And really, when you're talking the front, your options need to be three deep. And I don't think they're necessarily three deep along the front in some instances. But I think interior-wise, they're in very good shape. On the edge rushers, you know, that might be a little bit of a question mark as far as the depth. The linebacking core, I have a little bit of concern about the depth there. And yes, you added Miles Jack. You know, you've got Telvin and Paz and Dan Scuda. But, I mean, once you get past those four guys, you know, Hayes Pillard's a good player, you know, and he could play the mic. But, I mean, that's a position if you say, okay, on defense, what position are they not really deep at? I'd say linebacker. You know, and I'm going to be really anxious to see how they're going to utilize Miles Jack, because Miles Jack he's got too good of a skill set to not utilize somehow, some way when you get to the regular season. And they, from what we've seen, which now practices are closed, you know, maybe they're doing something differently, but we haven't seen him, you know, swing on over and take some snaps at auto. We haven't seen him do any of that. At some point, you got to find a way to get him on the field. And if I've got a choice between, you know, if you're matching up against the Jaguars offense, would you rather have Dan Scuda covering Julius Thomas, or would you rather have Miles Jack?
I think it's pretty obvious.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, so I think that's something that now that the practices are closed, now that you've let Miles Jack get a comfort level at Mike, and he's learning the entire defense by starting at Mike, now you start to have to start looking at options of what packages on defense can we get Miles Jack in to where he's learning how to play this defense at that position so we can get him on the field more.
All right, 641-1010, the number. Let's get Jerome on the west side next up this morning on Jaguars Today. Good morning, Jerome.
Hey, good morning. How y'all doing this morning?
Good, buddy. What's up?
First of all, yeah, I want to agree with you, man. I don't understand why Miles Jack hasn't been starting over Scooter in the first place. That, to me, it's like Miles Jack is everywhere and Scooter is nowhere. But that's me. My other thing is, though, special teams, though, kickoff coverage. Why are we still leaking in that? And then why are we still leaking in, like, in pass coverage in the middle of the field? It's like, what's the detail to, like, all this? I mean, is the coaches not paying enough detail, or why is it like every year we always have the same leakage?
Right,
middle field and special teams.
Jerome, before Jeff answers, let's hear what Gus had to say when asked about the special teams play versus Tampa.
Special teams converted all three extra points. Nortman had two impressive punts, I thought. He's had a great training camp. This will be a good chance to look at our punt and kickoff coverage. Still need work on our coverage teams, although it was better. Still, primary reason is, you know, leverage and getting off blocks. Need to continue to emphasize those areas.
All right, how do you improve?
Well, let's start with the coverage. Okay. I just got done talking about depth at linebacker, right? I mean, and that's typically where you've got to get some core four guys from. So that, I don't know if can that be better? Yes, because, you know, when you're in preseason mode, you're allowing those guys to work a couple snaps. Then after that, they're on defense, and now you're looking at threes and fours on your coverage unit. But the coverage unit's got to be better. The punting has been very good. I think Nortman's done a really good job, and I think he's going to help coverage. You need to find two guys at the gunner positions that are going to be effective consistently. I don't think they've been able to find those two guys yet. So you need to have more effective gunners. You need to have guys that do a better job in coverage. And kickoff coverage is a concern, but it's not at the same token, because you can let Jason Myers kick it out of the back of the end zone and line up on the 25 and play ball. To address the question of leaky coverage in the secondary, Jameis Winston didn't complete a pass with the first unit defense out there. You know,
0-for-6.
I mean, that's where I evaluate where you need to evaluate, because when you're talking about third quarter, fourth quarter, okay, and you're going against, you know, the backups for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, you know, are we talking about guys that are even going to be on this roster?
Not in the fourth quarter, you're generally
not. Necessarily.
Not, right.
You know, maybe there might be a guy. I mean, there's a couple guys that I like from watching on the film. Like, I like Jared Wilson. I think he's got an opportunity to be a pretty good player. But the rest of those guys, I mean, even the guy that had to pick six, which, you know, Josh Johnson, he's probably not going to make it. You know, so even though that was a great play and we get excited about it, he's probably not going to be on the roster
right
come September.
It's good for him to put it on film, though.
Yeah, you know? No, it's great for
nice
him.
Nice anticipating that that play and going the distance with it. All right, hang on, because we got to come back. We have not addressed the penalty situation, which was atrocious for the second week in a row, but we'll get into that, how much of a concern is that or not.
And I also want to talk about A.J. Cann and Brandon Leonard, because, you know, I know we kind of – we went over the offensive line, but I just want to tell you how good they are, because wow from the game.
That's coming up. He's Jeff Logman. Fat Tony's here. The birthday boy, Tyler Devitt. I'm Mike Dempsey. It's Jaguars Today. Coming back, and we'll take more of your calls at 641-1010. Don't forget, the fan feedback question of the day brought to you by the Tom Bush family of dealerships is, who is the Jaguars' secret weapon in 2016, or who will it be? We'll get to your feedback coming up in just a little bit. More with Jeff Logman straight ahead on Jaguars Today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM. Hey, folks, Mike Dempsey here for Dandy Foods, Dandy Sandwiches and Subs. You know what? Today is a great day for international relations. It is National Cuban Sandwich Day. That's right, and Dandy makes some of the freshest, most delicious Cuban sandwiches you're going to find anywhere, much less popping in to your Circle K or Kangaroo Express for a quick bite to go. When it's lunchtime, when it's any time that you're hungry. You know what Dandy does? They go all the way down to Tampa and they get the bread baked from El Segundo Bakery. It's a long way to go, but it makes their classic Cuban absolutely spectacular. It is National Cuban Sandwich Day. Do something for international relations on this Tuesday afternoon and go out and get yourself a Dandy classic Cuban. It's one of the many varieties. Hey, whether it's the Cuban, whether it's the chicken salad, the tuna salad, you name it. There's so many varieties, always fresh, always delicious. But on this day, make it a Cuban if you can. It's Dandy. Anytime you're hungry, folks, do what I do. Go out and make yours a Dandy and do it today.
From the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios at Everbank Field, this is Jaguars Today.
All right, continuing along this morning on Jaguars Today, Jeff Loggeman in the house, as he is every Tuesday now through the end of football season. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, Tyler Devitt's a birthday boy. Tony, he's not the only birthday boy today.
No, apparently Prince Amukamara excused from practice today. His wife had their second child.
Congrats.
I'm not sure on the name yet, but was not out at practice today, at least.
All right, we didn't know what the next step in royalty would be. I went with Squire, but I could be wrong about that. I'm not sure.
Congratulations to him. By the way, Tom Coughlin, I had a conversation with Tom about Prince Amukamara. You know, Tom knows him very well.
Sure.
And Tom made a comment to me that said, you know, he thinks that fatherhood has really helped Prince Amukamara, you know, which means that, you know, as a young player, some players, you know, mature at different times, that Prince needed to gain a little bit of maturity. And Tom was happy to see that he's gaining it.
Oh, doubly mature now.
Yeah.
his second kid. Michael Bennett back at practice today?
Michael Bennett back at practice, so that's good news for the Jags. The guys who were held out today, Lincoln Box still out, Amukamara for those personal reasons, James Sample still not out there, Avery Jones, Roy Miller, Josh Wells, and Sheldon Day still not out.
Okay. Any hearing anything on Sheldon Day?
No, I haven't heard anything. I just know that, you know, it's a back injury, and hopefully it heals. You know, this is the point where, you know, could you start the season with him on PUP to maybe gain some, you know, roster spot for somebody else that may be utilized at some point? But, you know, at some point you need to start to see him. Otherwise, you're going to have to use that designation on him.
Right. All right. We've got one on the line here. We'll get to this, and we're going to get to penalties, and we're going to get to Linder and Can. All that coming up here momentarily. Let's get to Mike calling in from Atlanta. Good morning, Mike.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. Secret weapon, by definition, that's going to be somebody that nobody's really just expecting to do a whole lot, that's going to turn out to be not the top guy, but somebody that's going to be there for some big plays here and there. And for me, it's somebody that's been with the team for a long time. Everybody seems to think he's on the downside, but with an improved offensive line, I think Mercedes Lewis can have a much bigger impact than he's had in the last couple of years.
What say you, Jeff Loggeman?
Well, I think he can, and he's had maybe his best training camp yet, which is amazing considering how many years that he's been in the league. He is in great shape. He is healthy, which is a big thing for Mercedes. And this emphasis on the run game, if he can get back to being what he was a couple years ago, it will be absolutely huge for this offense. Because in his heyday, which, you know, you got to go back, what, 3 years for Mercedes when he was healthy, best blocking tight end in the league. Not even close.
And for you, when you hear secret weapon with Mercedes, that's what you're thinking of, getting back to a dominant level of play specifically there. I'm guessing Mike is thinking, what I'm hearing is that if the line's improved, he won't be asked to just be an inline blocker as much, and he's going to flourish in the passing game. I just think there are too many weapons
too many
in the
guys.
Passing game, right?
Yeah, what are you going to do?
Make a few big plays here and there along the way, and I'm sure he will. He typically, you know, he pops up with a huge play out of nowhere sometimes, but he's pretty far down the pecking order of targets on this.
Yeah, he's never going to attain what he had a couple years ago as far as the touchdown catches and all that, just because, you know. But the one thing is that if they can run the ball more effectively with him in the game, then all of a sudden, you know, the old surprise passes to the tight ends should be more readily available.
Well, if Linder and Can play well, they can run the ball more effectively when anyone's in the game. What a segue there. You wanted to talk about what you saw from that duo.
They're so good.
Thank you.
Brandon Linder is literally, you watch him every play on film just because he's so good. He's strong. He can move. He adjusts on the fly. He's making all the calls. This is probably the best thing that's ever happened to Blake Bortles. Because, you know, quarterbacks, you'd love to marry a center and a quarterback for their career, you know, much like Jeff Saturday, Peyton Manning, other guys that have been able to do that throughout their careers. But he is playing at a level that is clearly Pro Bowl, and I think he's got that kind of potential consistently, you know, year in and year out. But the guy that's really made huge strides is A.J. Can. He's just dominant. I mean, he is strong. He is he's good in both areas, run blocking and pass blocking. I like the way he's got a little nasty edge to him. There's one particular play where T.J. Yeldon had a run of, I believe it was 11 yards, and he is coming around, and he ends up hitting Quan Alexander, who is a really good player. and knocks Quan Alexander to where he goes back like 8 yards, and he's almost fallen down, and Quan's all, you know, he's all teed off about it. Well, AJ, you know, after he blocks Quan, goes down the field, and then he literally puts Brent Grimes on his butt. Well, Quan's peeling back to get a little, you know, payback on AJ Cann, and AJ, you know, he goes to push AJ, and AJ's like, you know, the rock statue that won't move. And you just go, yeah, that's what you need out of an offense, and a little bit of attitude, you know, from the center position to the right tackle, because Jeremy Parnell's playing better. You're not concerned whatsoever. As long as those guys stay together and stay healthy, you just need to get the left side figured out.
All right, you need to figure out how to reduce these penalties as well. 11 in the first half, several of them declined on top of that. Now, certainly, Tony and I were talking about this yesterday, there are penalties of aggression where you make a play and it's a bang-bang play and maybe you hit a receiver in the neck or head area because sometimes physics won't allow you to stop. Then you have the ones like Telvin Smith made, when you're off the field on third down and you just make a dumb, I don't know, trying to prove how macho you are, you want to sling down your former teammate to the ground. Those are the ones that drive me crazy. I imagine they drive the coaching staff crazy. Are you concerned at this point in time? What do we have, 25 in the first two games, 12 and 13?
Something like that,
right,
yeah.
The last two? I mean, is this, how do you see it? Is this something that needs to get better in a hurry? Can they overcome this? How do you look at it?
Well, you certainly don't hide from it. I think if you're Gus Bradley, you address it. And I think that he is addressing it. The defensive penalties. A couple of the interference calls were questionable. The ones that were just dumb, you know, the Telvin Smith, that was a dumb one. You know, but you want to be able to coach to where your defense is an edge. It's an edge group. But you gotta define where that edge needs to stop, and I think that it's better to be able to pull them back than it is to
push
kick,
them to
kick
it.
Them in the pants. Going, come on, guys, where's a little bit of edge? You know, so I'll take that any day of the week over the alternative, which is you've got a defense that doesn't play with fire and they don't play with some edge. So I like that better than anything. Some of those penalties were the sideline thing. You know, now Gus Bradley got hot on one of them, and then he also had a couple other ones that were called because that was a point of emphasis by the league that if any coach personnel was on the field, even during TV timeout, it was called. It was even called on the Bucs. You know, and that's one of those things where the league's going to end up backing off a little bit. They wanted to prove a point this week, and Gus Bradley made the comments, look, you know, point heard, point taken.
Right.
You know, so, but, you know, I'm okay with a little bit of that. But once you get to the regular season, you got to be able to kind of rein it in, pull it in.
Will they be able to do that?
Yes. I don't think that that's an issue because, you know, I think that the greatest advancement that they've made on defense, one of the greatest advancements that they have made on defense, is the hiring of Todd Walsh. I think that he is going to be outstanding for this group. I think he has a measure of accountability to the coaches, to the players, to everybody. And trust me, if there's anybody that's going to be able to get it done and is going to get that edge and define it to where they don't cross it at the proper time, it's going to be Todd Walsh. Love the guy.
On the text line, just following up with that, Ian said that Todd Walsh will be the secret weapon for the Jags this year. First-time defensive coordinator. Teams are going to assume it'll be the same defense as under Bob Babich, and he will bring the element of surprise. And then final question, because you're going to get out of here in just a second. This one's from our boy Short Dog in Gainesville. He said, what's up, guys? Ask Jeff if James Sample and Jonathan Cyprian are both out. What's the next plan of attack at strong safety? Who's the next man up?
Well, I mean, you on the depth chart, you look at Peyton Thompson, who is in the concussion protocol.
Would that be as simple as that? He would just, you know, Sample would be the direct backup to Cyprian. If they're both out, you just slide Peyton Thompson in there.
If they're all on the roster, that's what you really, that's your next option.
Which you would imagine they would be, health, as provided health allows them to be, right?
Right.
Those guys.
Yeah, I got a little bit of concern about Sample, you know, because he had the shoulder issue last year, and that prevented him from being on the field last year.
Right.
So is this the same thing that's popped up that's kept him from being, you know, active on game days and even just practicing, you know? So that's a little bit of a concern because, you know, you wanted James Sample because, you know, he's got a skill set that just suits perfectly for strong safety, and you were going to provide more competition to Jonathan Cyprian. So that's I'm concerned about him. I'm concerned about him because of that shoulder.
Not practicing today. We'll keep an eye on that one. Jags on the field Sunday night. You'll hear Jeff Loggeman as part of the call along with Frank Frangie and Tony Baselli. Where are we going to catch you In the meantime, I can't remember every show you're on. You're on like more than I am.
Last night we started Jaguars All Access. Okay. That started last night. We had Blake Bortles on last night.
Nice.
Really good. Let's see. Thursday radio. Tuesday here with you, of course.
Of course.
And then Thursday night radio, Gus Bradley radio show. And then Jaguars Thursday with JP and Baselli. Outdoor show Saturday right here on these airwaves.
There you go.
And then starting, I think, next week, we have the new Jaguars Wednesday magazine show. I think it's starting next week. So let you know on that next week.
A lot coming up with Jeff Logman, of course, and you'll catch it all this week right here on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
The Saturday night show starts this week. So it's, I think it's Jaguars magazine type show. It's on Saturday nights. And we will have a segment with Gus, and we're going to be talking about this week with him. He spent a little bit of time in the film room with him. We're going to talk about rules football. You know, because you've heard him use that term, right?
Rules football.
Well, rules football in a preseason is very important because, much like the callers were talking about, well, you know, why did we see in this, you know, certain leakage and coverages and stuff? And I made the point to you guys during the commercial break. There were a couple instances in the game against the Buccaneers where rules football has to apply. The Bucs are in three wide receiver sets. Which defense would match up against a three wide receiver set?
Nickel.
Nickel. Well, they didn't play nickel, you know, because sometimes when you get to a certain point in the game, you got to play who you got. Well, they matched up in a base defense against a three wide receiver group, so now you have to play rules football. You know, you have to play, not matchups, you're just playing your rules of the defense, rules of coverage. And then when the Buccaneers had the replay review where the running back ended up being down at the half-yard line, the Buccaneers come out, two backs, two tight ends. That's basically heavy personnel. What defense would you typically play at the half-yard line?
Goal line defense.
Well, Jaguars were playing base defense. You know, so you got to apply your rules to certain situations that normally you wouldn't have to apply.
And that's coming up Saturday.
That's Saturday night.
All right, we'll look for that. Jeff, great stuff, man. We'll talk to you again next Tuesday.
Thank you, guys.
There he goes, Jeff Logman with us every Tuesday here on Jaguars Today. We'll come back, fan feedback spotlight. Who do you think is the secret weapon for the Jacksonville Jaguars in 2016? We'll take a look at some of your responses coming up. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, and the birthday boy, Tyler Devitt, here with you. It's Jaguars Today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Jaguars Daily is brought to you by Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute, the official sports medicine provider for the Jacksonville Jaguars.
The Jaguars announced the signing of running back Cameron Marshall this morning to make room for Marshall. Undrafted rookie quarterback Max Wittig was waived. Marshall has not appeared in an NFL regular season game. He is the fifth tailback on the Jaguars roster. ESPN's Mike DiRocco says defensive tackle Roy Miller is questionable for the rest of the preseason because of a quad injury. He's continuing to rehab, but looks like he won't be on the field again until the September 11th opener. And the Jaguars get back on the field today for practice after having yesterday off. Sunday, Cincinnati comes to town for the third preseason game of the year. Kickoff is set for 8 p.m. This has been Jaguars Daily, brought to you by JOI. I'm Jordan DeArmond.
From the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios at Everbank Field, more Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
All right, coming down the stretch here, Jeff Logman is out the door. Midday Chalk coming up at the top of the hour. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, Tyler Devitt here with you as we look at the fan feedback spotlight today. Tony asking folks about the Jaguars' secret weapon, a guy who's going to perform in ways that it, maybe the public at large does not expect in 2016, hopefully in a positive way.
Yeah, here's what we got from Will. He said Marquise Lee. From Kyle, going to go out on a limb and say Marquise Lee. Focus will be on A. Robin Hearns. Lee will surprise if healthy. Yeah, the albino tiger. From Chad, this would be a surprise. Jalen Ramsey with 2 to 3 touchdowns on kickoff returns in key situations. And we hashtag steal the show, hashtag take it to the limit, hashtag Jags playoffs. From Justin, Rashad Green, when Bortles gets to use him in the regular season, he'll start to show up. From Stoff, Julius Thomas, people forget how good he is. From Jarrell, Corey Grant in the pass game and kick returns. From Black Dog Express, he's so secret, I can't even spell his name. The rare albino tiger. Just don't include the E. It's Marquise with no E.
The albino tiger.
And from Cristiano, Rashad Green returning and receiving. Hashtag survive the Olympics. Cristiano, our Brazilian listener.
Man, good for him, man. And hope he didn't pull a gun on any of our fellow countrymen. I'm kidding, Cristiano. I'm kidding. It was all a big lie. Lock the pants on fire. All right. Daniel said Rashad Green. These are on the Facebook page. Brad Nortman got a vote from Connor. We've already seen the bombs he can punt, and his field-flipping ability will force opposing offenses to produce long drives if they want points. I like it.
I think that's a Madden stat. Field-flipping ability.
Field-flipping ability. Josh went with Prince of Mukamara. Has had a good offseason, and durability, not ability, has been his problem in the past. Matt Tate went with Jared Odrick. Not the sexy pick, but he's played well. That's what we're talking about, secret weapons. Rashad Green getting more votes there. Another one. Luke Jokel will be our secret weapon. That one coming in from Andre. Andrej? I don't know how you pronounce it. I'm sure how you pronounce it. O-N-D-R-E-J. It's from Ireland. I don't know how you pronounce that one.
I don't know. Help us out.
Good man. We appreciate that. Another albino tiger. And then finally, this one coming in as Matt just posts a picture and says, this lady.
They say they have the best draft in the entire NFL. Are you surprised to hear that?
Certainly not. The first year we took it to the limit. And I was in Miami with my new beach house. Well, it was a couple minutes from the beach.
It's been 20 years since then. We haven't been too strong in the last few years.
Oh, we've been strong. We're just playing by the rules. You can't have a newcomer come in and steal a show.
Truly has yet to fail to put a smile on my face. At any point in time that I hear this. And Tyler's like, you want the short version or the long version? Are you kidding me? The more I can get of Steal the Show Lady, the better.
My favorite part of the Steal the Show Lady is they go, they say they had the best draft in so many years, and she goes, huh. Yeah.
What does she say about
certainly
Miami, though?
Not.
one from the top, one more time, if you would, please.
They say they have the best draft in the entire NFL. Are you surprised to hear that?
Certainly not. The first year we took it to the limit. And I was in Miami with my new beach house. Well, it was a couple minutes from the beach.
It's been 20 years since then. We haven't been too strong in the last few years.
Oh, we've been strong. We're just playing by the rules. You can't have a newcomer come in and steal a show.
I do love at my new beach house, it's actually a couple minutes from the beach. Hence, it's not a beach house.
That's better than like 70% of Saturday Night Live sketches.
It is so good.
It's so good. Certainly not.
Tremendous. Tyler, have you not booked this lady yet for the program? Why have we not had her?
I'm still trying to find her. Apparently, she was on a Facebook live chat a couple weeks ago.
She should be.
She resides somewhere in the Jacksonville Beach area. If anyone has a connection, please email me, TylerD@1010. I would love to get this lady on
the show. We would like to talk to Steal the Show Lady. I'd love to have her in studio and have her, you know, just give us all her deep thoughts for the upcoming season. It would be fantastic. All right, that's about going to do it for us today. Later on this week, hopefully we'll get a chance to chat with Ryan O'Halloran, David Garrard, and others as we get ready for the Jags and the Cincinnati Bengals on Sunday night, 5 o'clock for the pregame right here in your home for the Jacksonville Jaguars, 1010XL 92.5 FM. Thanks to Jeff Loggeman for coming in today. Glad we could bring you a little of that Gus Bradley audio today as well. So, for Fat Tony, for Joe Fortunato, for the birthday boy, Tyler Devitt, who's off to find a cold cocktail in the next 20 minutes
waiting
or so.
In prod too, as I put the show on demand, it's ready to go.
It's wait, did you say that the cocktail is waiting for you in the production room?
Did I say that?
I don't know. I thought he said that. Maybe
that's what it sounded like.
It's already waiting in
certainly
prod too.
Certainly not.
All right, that does it for us today. Stick around. Midday Chalk coming up next. Logman every Tuesday all throughout the football season for everybody. Aforementioned, I'm Mike Dempsey signing off. This has been Jaguars Today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Certainly not. The first year we took it to the limit.
You guys have a good day. Peace.